Welcome to HQAF Radio. I'm Alana.
And I'm Carrie.
And we're related. Well, I have a very special guest for you guys today. I have my brother, Carrie, my youngest brother, Carrie. Welcome,
Carrie. Thank you so very much for having me. It's an absolute honor. I really never thought I would make it to this point in my life.
Really? Had you heard of our radio show before this exact moment?
Of course I've heard of this radio show. Everyone knows this radio show, man.
Would you recommend it to friends and family?
I don't have any friends.
Oh, so. Well, there you go.
Doesn't quite work for me, personally.
Yeah, Carrie is hysterical, as you can see. We're going to get a little more into that a little bit later on. And he has been super sweet with me lately. I actually sprained my ankle earlier this week. Actually, right after I recorded a radio show episode with Francis and he was walking me to my car, I sprained my ankle. And so Thursday was a very interesting day. And Carrie actually took care of me the entire day. And it was really super sweet. He took me to the ER because I thought maybe I had fractured something. And he was just really nice and like gave me pillows and like water and stuff. And he's just a super sweet guy. And, you know, but of course, because we are related, we didn't always get along when we were kids. But I mean, I feel like we're good now, right, Carrie? I mean, how would you describe our relationship as adults now?
Well, our relationship's really on and off again. She never really tells me how she feels, so I just sometimes just... Nah, we're good. We get along.
But we didn't used to get along, right? Like,
not exceptionally well, no.
Yeah. We're 5 years apart, right?
I don't know how old you are, honestly. What are you, 27?
Oh my god. So this was a thing that Francis is like, oh yeah, how old is Carrie? I'm like, he's like 20. I'm like, I don't know. And he goes, well, what year was he born? I'm like, I fucking know. And he goes,
what are you, 92?
I'm 91.
I don't fucking know.
So I can't wait for Francis to hear this because he's like, I can't believe you don't know how old your siblings are. I'm like, look, I have one extra sibling because he's one of three and then I'm one of four. I'm like, look, man, I don't have it as easy as you do. Like, I don't have just two people. I have three people to keep track of. So good. That was one of, actually, when we were talking about this episode, I said, well, Francis, give me questions to ask Carrie. And he said, oh, ask him how old he is.
So everyone will finally know what the truth
good
is.
Good one. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to get a little bit more into, you know, Carrie and our relationship and some like fun stories in just a moment. So something that's really cool about Carrie that just came to light recently for me, and Carrie's going to give us some more background information about it, is that my brother Carrie is a rapper. His rapper name is KT Hakizimo. Look him up on the Google machine. Hey girl, SoundCloud. I forget the username, but it's really cool. He has one single out right now, in progress of a second one. I think they're still working on like editing it, putting it all together. But yeah, Carrie, can you tell us a little bit more about what inspired your rapper career?
What I'll start with is if you look up KT Hakizimo, you won't find anything. I'm under the group Goons 22, and we have one song on there with only one other member that's on that particular song, and there's various other songs that they have on that group page, one of which I'm in.
Which one is that? What is the title of the song you were featured in?
It's called GOMO, G-O-M-O, and that one is some hot fire, certainly.
What is the song about?
The theme is like Japanese shit. Our inspiration comes from a game, a 64 game called Gomon's Adventure.
Nintendo 64. Yeah. When you say 64, not like 1964.
No, not 1964.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is a particularly fond game of ours from when we were kids, because that was a game, if I recall correctly, and you can tell me, that's a game that didn't have a save feature. Or we didn't realize there was a save feature till like years later. So the whole thing was we would try and progress and beat that game without turning off the N64. But then mom, like we'd go to school and then maybe she'd knock something or whatever and it would like mess up the game and we'd have to start all over again. Is that correct that it didn't have a save feature or am I misremembering?
All those games have save features. You had to have
like a little pack that you'd put in the controller in order to save, and we didn't own one of those. So we would never save anything unless there was a built-in function for it.
Got it. Okay.
So you needed like a save pack,
and right, we would just the game not pack thing.
Do that because we're dumb.
How long did it take us to beat that game?
I don't think we ever did.
Oh, well, there you go. Although that song, I should say that it's not actually about the woes of trying to beat that game, but it's just like...
There's some references to the game.
There's some references to the game, but it's just about, like, Japanese culture, like, anime references, video game references in general. And so, did you always see yourself becoming a rapper? Or, like, no. What kind of... What inspired it? So, these guys, Goon22 existed for a while. They have a couple of singles, or had a
couple
of singles.
They have quite a few. They have an EP, and they have various other singles that they've released. And they've done some individual stuff as well. So I was their number one fan before I joined. You know, I love those guys. I thought they were so good. Mm. And then it seemed like fun. I was really interested in it, and I liked what they were doing, and I loved it. So one day I was just hanging out with a buddy of ours, and I was just like, man, I want to see if I can write something. So I was just listening to a beat on YouTube, and then I just started just writing something. I was like, man, this is kind of heat. I feel like maybe I can do this. So then I hit up one of the guys in the group, and I was like, yo, I want to try and make a song. Are you down to do that with me? And he's like, sure. So then I made it secretly, and then I wanted to just show the other people in the group to see what they would think. And they thought it was fire, and then they let me in.
So did you write all the lyrics to the song, or just, like, part of the lyrics, or did your friend just make the beat, or did you pretty much lead the way on the beat and the lyrics? Like, where... Was it a full 50-50 collaboration, this song, or...?
So I was working with Tree, who's another guy that's in the group, and he came up with the beat and his lyrics, and I came up with my lyrics.
Okay.
Yeah, so when we started it, he had a bunch of beats on his system that he works with. And we just went through the beats, and we just chose that one. And then we just wrote our own stuff, and then we just hopped on it, and we killed it.
And do you have any other singles coming out that people might, you know, look out for that will be featuring KT Hakizumo?
Yeah, we have another one working right now. It's Donkey Kong themed, Donkey Kong 64.
Nice.
And we're working on that one.
What's the title, or do you not want to say until...
We don't have a title yet.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, no, we're a little bit earlier on in the process.
Okay. Do you see yourself doing a bunch more singles, or was this just kind of like a fun little side, you know, two-song project, or are you, like, fully part of the Goons 22 squad? Like, tell us more about the status of the band.
Oh, well... I'm not sure I would call us a band because none of us really use instruments per se. We're certainly a rap group. I would say that I am fully in the group, to answer one part of your question. And I didn't really come into it thinking this will be fun. I'm going to do two songs and then I'll be out. You know, I was like, I want to just do this song. That'll be fun. And then I was like, now I want to do a song with everyone. That'll be fun. And I'm just kind of thinking about it time, you know. From time to time, I'm not really...
You're just in the moment, but not necessarily saying, like, oh, yeah, and when we go to the Grammys, like, I'm going to wear this outfit, and you guys are going to wear this, and we'll be this whole coordinated
group. It's just really fun working with the guys in the group.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I do it. It's just fun.
And is there availability for me to join the group?
I don't know. We'd have to run past the guys, I suppose.
Would they be opposed to it?
I haven't asked, so I really couldn't tell you what their inclination would be.
I mean, you know, I used to rap in college, right?
I do remember.
Yeah, Too White for Life.
Yeah.
Number two, White. Number four, Life. Yeah, I was, I had a lot of friends in college, as you can tell. It was very popular. So you think maybe, like, they'd be down, or... Because you don't have any... Currently, you don't have any women in your group, is that correct?
Are you assuming our genders?
I don't know if this is a guy-specific group. Backstreet Boys couldn't be Backstreet Boys if there was a girl in it, right? Like, I don't know if Goons 22 is, like, Goons male, specifically. Like, there's Goons female and Goons male. I don't know. I don't even know what a goon is, but, like, I've been told about it, so.
If we wanted to throw in someone who was a woman, we wouldn't have a problem with it. But
awesome.
We would have to want to do that.
So you're saying there's a possibility?
Distinctly.
Good. So, as I mentioned earlier, we are one of four, so I'm the only girl, and then Carrie is one of three boys. So my first question, probably the most important question on everyone's mind, is who is your favorite sibling?
That's none of your business.
What?
I don't think I've thought about it.
You haven't thought about it in the... Wait, how old are you? How old did we decide you were? How old are you? Wait, are you? You're 21.
22.
Fuck. Okay, so in your 22 years of existence of having three siblings, you're telling me you've never thought about who your favorite sibling is.
I wouldn't say that I have a favorite sibling. Sean is my team member, and he's, I mean, you, all of you are my siblings, but he's also my friend, whereas I don't think that we're really, because we don't really, like, hang out like that, because he's in my friend group.
Right. Well, because, and I guess to give some background, too, Sean is the closest in age to Carrie, as in compared to Patrick and I. Like, Patrick and I are 14 months apart, and then I think there's a 2-year difference between Patrick and Sean, maybe? Yeah, Carrie's just as confused. I have no idea. And then Sean and Carrie, I think, are also, like, 14 or 15 months apart. You guys are, like, just a year it's apart, a year basically. And a half, yeah. So when he says team member, well, our mom used to, when we were growing up, she used to call me and Patrick team number one, and then Carrie and Sean team number two. Because there were just so many of us, it was just easier to refer to us in groups. That was the fastest way. Also, she used to call us, do you remember this? She used to call us by our number. Like, I would be number one. She's like, number four, god yeah. damn it. Like, instead of remembering Carrie's name, she would call him by our birth order. So we were numbers. So if you wanted to have any inkling or insight into what growing up with four siblings would be like, our mom literally reduced us to our birth order number as our name. But, okay, so you don't have a favorite sibling, but you're the closest, you would say, then, to Sean. Which is a respectful answer, right? You love your siblings all in different ways, because they're all different.
Certainly.
Are you happy that you have two brothers and one sister versus all girls? Like,
yes,
how do you...
what the fuck?
So you
is
don't
that a
wonder...
question, dog?
Well, so you never wonder, like, what it would be like
no,
to have
I've
all...
No, I've never fucking wondered that.
You've never wanted that?
I've never wondered that. Wondered. Never
wondered.
Wondered.
Well, but would you ever want that reality?
No.
Okay, it's not, yeah.
No, I'm
just
good.
To confirm. Because, you know, it's, like, kind of crazy, though. Because, you know, there are people who have a bunch of kids, too. I guess, to give you some background, when I tell people I'm the only girl in a family of four, people assume, oh, are you the youngest? Because, I don't know if you know this, or if you know anyone who's in a family like this, but people will try and have the... Like, they want to have a girl and a boy, right? But then you have two girls, and you're like, okay, I'm going to try for a third, and then you have another girl. And then you're like, I want to try for the boy. And so then they go, like, they're trying to have that
yeah,
other gender.
Yeah, it was the opposite. They
yeah, and so, like, a lot of families, like, I know at least two families where, like, my friend's boyfriend is one of four, and they're all boys. And she literally had four kids because she really wanted to have a girl. It didn't work out. Or my other friend who's one of five girls... They tried for the boy 5 times. But isn't that just, like, wild? Can you imagine having children to have a gender? Like, at that point, just stop. right?
I guess they really want the experience more than they want money.
Exactly. And I guess that's a point for to me. Well, one, I guess, have you ever run into that conversation? Or have you ever known anyone who's in a family of several children? And it's like, oh, they really wanted, like... that gender, or no, that's not.
Well, I assume that was the case with the Red family at St. Rita's, who were childhood friends of ours, who have five boys and no girls.
Oh, yeah.
I assume that's what they were doing.
Right.
And it didn't quite work out as it would appear.
Yeah. I think it's wild to me. And I kind of like that. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with doing that. Like, to each their own. Like, you do you, boo, every day of the week. But I think it shows how truly... our parents did not, like, plan any of us. It was like, you know, oh, they didn't have four kids because they were trying for a gender. It's just, like, they didn't really plan children out. Like, we all just happened.
Well, I assume that they were planning for a gender when... So, you were born by accident.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we want a boy. So, they planned for Patrick. And then the next two were mistakes, just like you. So, there's only one person who is actually
planned.
Deliberate.
Which mom, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, you know how mom always goes, and look how he turned out. So like, and Patrick was the bland one, and look how he turned out. Which, Patrick turned out fine, I think. I think we all turned out
fine. All things considered, certainly.
Right? I think we all turned out pretty good, all things considered, wouldn't you say, Carrie?
Sure.
As, like, adults?
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't even talk about Sean. Right?
That's my man's, yo.
True. He's my man's, too. He lives in New York, so we don't get to see him as often. But if you're out there, Sean, wherever you are, New York.
New York, you know where it is. Wherever you are.
I hope you're listening and you know that, yeah. Bye. So I got married about 9 months ago? 8 months ago? I should probably know, but I don't. So I didn't move out till I got married, and yes, I was 27 years old when I moved out, but hey girl, when you live with that no bills life and you can never go back to that period again, you just want to live it as long as humanly possible, and I don't regret a thing. But I wanted to ask you, Carrie, how has it been since I moved out? Any changes? Any noticeable anything?
I'd say the only difference is, I do the dishes on my own, because Patrick isn't helpful, so I usurped all the responsibility, and I'd say not having to worry about you sleeping in Dad's room is nice, but I'd say those are the only noticeable differences.
Yeah. So, for context, my dad, well, I used to live in the garage house, which was this, we had a garage, and my dad made it into his office, and then I moved in, like, when I started college. And it's a great little space. It's nice, you know, a 300 square foot place, but it's not very well insulated. So in the winter, it would get really cold. And then my dad, when he would sleep over at his girlfriend's house, and I would sleep in his bed, because I'm like, oh, cool, I can be in a heated environment. Like, that would be great. But then, yeah, Carrie would have his friends over, and that would be a cause for conflict at times. Also, in reference to the dishes, we used to have a calendar where every day would be a different sibling. Like, it would be just scheduled, whatever it was, you know, our initials. But now you're just doing the dishes all the time. So that's the only difference.
That I can see.
And what would you say is your favorite memory of me from when we did live together or post living together? Just what's your favorite memory of me?
I'm not sure whether or not this is my favorite, but it's the one that comes to mind. It's really funny.
Yeah.
So we go to the beach every year. I think you were still living with us. And we had a particular individual come to the beach with us. And that individual wasn't the subject of much praise. And we didn't have a great time in this
presence. We didn't like him. Yeah.
So, you know, you can't talk shit on that person because they're there.
Yeah.
So Alanda and I went to the beach and it was just her and I. And no one else had accompanied us yet. So we spent the 20 or so minutes that it was just us at the beach talking shit on this individual, and it was really funny. Yeah, that was really funny. We were just talking shit on him the whole time, and then he eventually came down, and it was a good time.
I love that your favorite memory of us is just like shitting all over. We can say his name. He'll never listen to this. Jeremy. Sorry, Jeremy, but boy, you gotta like fix your life a little bit, okay? Come on. Yeah, that was pretty hysterical. I'd say probably my favorite memory of you is when, I don't know if you remember this because you were quite little, and it's just my favorite memory because, so my favorite memory is also sort of traumatic. Such as our childhood. Don't worry, it's not anything like scary, but do you remember when we climbed on our neighbor's like RV? And then he started driving it with us on top of it.
I thought that was...
You might have been really young. Like you
I
were...
mean, I've heard the story, but I thought it was like a FedEx truck.
No, it was our neighbor's truck. Like, our next-door neighbor used to have this big RV that he used to drive around. Or just remember. A big... No, it was an RV. And we were, you know, we're young kids. Like, Carrie's like 5 or 6. And we'd climb on top of it just to, like, play or whatever. And the guy was leaving to go to work. I think it was summertime, so we were out of school. So he left to go to work, and we were on top of it. He didn't realize that we had gotten on top. And I remember Sean just, like, elegantly... So Patrick didn't get on. He's just standing there. I think he told our mom. I don't know. Or maybe mom just ran out. He wasn't on the truck. He wasn't into it. Sean, like, gracefully jumps off before the car starts moving. So it's just me and Carrie. And I am, like, screaming my head off, so scared. And Carrie is up on top of the RV, just, like, a six-year-old boy. I'm, like, screaming. I'm crying. I'm thinking I'm going to die on this RV. And Carrie's just, like, standing there being so cute, just like kind of unaware of the situation. And it probably seems like a really weird memory to be your favorite, but I don't know, I just thought it was like really endearing how you know, innocent and cute he was. I don't know. Okay, so Carrie, now comes the part where I ask the serious questions. I hope you're ready.
I am indeed.
What is your favorite quality about me?
I hate you.
Good start. So, let's expand upon that.
Am I here to inflate your vanity?
No, I'm just asking you what your favorite quality... I mean, we've lived together... Wait, how old are you again? 21. Two.
There you go.
22. We've lived together for 22 years. Okay. You must have some... Do you want me to start, and then you can...
No, I'll start.
Okay.
Favorite quality about you.
I mean, if you want me to start and then, like, take that time to think about it, we could do that.
I think I admire your industriousness, your conscientiousness.
In what regard? Like, put into con... What do I do specifically that you're like, man, that's cool?
Conscientiousness, industriousness, hard worker, basically. You know, you do what you gotta do so you can do what you wanna do.
Oh. So you admire that about me as a person?
I do.
Aw. Well, something I admire about you is your inability to quit. Which sometimes is annoying because, you know, if I ask you something or someone asks you something, you say no, you really mean it. You will stand by it.
I've shifted my position sometimes under strong scrutiny, like for the hairstyle for your wedding.
True. Yeah. But I think it's very admirable. Like, I think it's awesome that you can stand by your guns and you're like, no, this is where I stand. This is who I am. One particular memory stands out to me. Do you remember when we... lost power in the middle of winter because of the transformer? So what happened was it was freezing cold. It was like the end of February when one of our power lines caught fire, exploded, and so we didn't have power for, what was it, 3-4 days, right, Carrie?
Yeah, something like that.
And everyone abandoned the house. Like, Patrick stayed in a hotel. I mean, I, you know, stayed at my apartment. Mom lived in her own apartment, and then Patrick stayed at a hotel.
Dad
was at Amanda's, but you were the lone person standing. Can
building
you tell
fires
us
fires and shit?
And you were like committed because mom said to Patrick, "Oh, like you should ask Carrie if he wants to stay." And I think you were just like, "Nah, man, I'm staying." Like,
yeah.
Kind of. What was your thinking behind that, and how was your experience?
Well, I didn't have anywhere else to stay. I could have figured it out if I wanted to pay money to sleep elsewhere or asked a buddy. So there were some options, less fiscally sound. So the first night, it was pretty cold. I remember that I had the situation squared away where, you know, I was warm enough that I went to bed. When I woke up, I was cold. And I remember Patrick had quite a bit of grievances about that evening. So he gave up after the first night. But I have this mentality where when I decide that I want to challenge myself in a certain regard, that I become quite strong in reaching that outcome. This was an example of that where I was like, I bet I could stay here and be okay. So I decided to do that. Like, you know, if I'm running and I'm like, you know what, I want to get to this point. And I'm like, you know, I shouldn't have decided on this point. This is really far. I'm like, well, I said I was going to go there, so I'm just going to go there. You know, things of that nature. Like, I'll see a bus when I'm riding my bike and I'll say, you know, I bet I could beat that bus to here. And then I start biking like a maniac really hard. So that's just a character trait that I have. So when I decide, it's like, you know, I want to see if I can do this, and then I'll really just do whatever I can to make it successful. You know, bundle
and
up.
You won't quit. Like, you'll keep at it until
well, it's done. With regard, you know, there are some things that, you know, unstoppable force meets an immovable object. It proves that I'm not unstoppable. Like, when I was racing the bus, I actually hit a guy with my bike because I was being so negligent.
Oh, God.
He was all right, though.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, I still see him walking around, so he's all
right. So he lived.
Mr. Pardon is his name.
Oh, okay. Nice.
He pardoned me in this instance.
Yeah. What was the hardest part about staying in the house? Also, do you remember how many days? Like, was it 3 or 4 days?
I think it was 3, yeah. Because I remember... So the first day I went out, and then...
And you had school.
It was 2 nights and 3 days, I think. Because it went out, and then we went to sleep. Patrick ditched. I was there, and then... I think that night I slept by the fire.
You started a fire? Oh, I didn't know
I started
about
a fire and slept by the fire, yeah. I was studying by firelight.
Oh my god, like in olden times.
For my Spanish test the next day.
Yeah.
I didn't have any computer, so I couldn't do the online homework, but I studied for the test.
Nice.
And then it was either that morning or then, I think it was that morning, I was leaving for school right around 9:15. It came on right as I was stepping out the door.
Yeah.
So that was the time. And then I notified all the abortionees that it was
back.
That it was back online.
Yeah. And then with the water also, because we didn't have the heating pump, like, did you take showers during that time?
No.
I guess not.
I mean, I couldn't afford to take a shower even if it was online because it would have been freezing. I would have.
Oh, yeah, and you couldn't blow dry your hair or, like, do anything to really...
Yeah, I probably would have gotten sick if I did that.
Yeah. And I think Mom said that it was colder in the house than it was outside because something about...
Yeah, I think it just traps in the coldest heat. Like being in an attic where it's always hotter when it's hot and it's always colder when it's cold.
Yeah. It was a pretty crazy time. But yeah, Carrie, I think you specifically texted Mom, like when Mom was saying, oh, why don't you just stay with, you know, your friend? Or why don't you just do this? And you're like, nah, man, I'm the last man standing. I gotta man the ship.
Gotta hold down the fort.
Yeah, I gotta hold down the fort. So I thought that was... pretty cool time. So for those of you who don't know, which you don't know because this is the first time Carrie's been on our show, in addition to a prosperous rapping career, Carrie has also had a prosperous acting career. He has done multiple shows. He's been in the theater both in high school and in college and done shows. I'm trying to think of words. I'm not actually in like the theater world, but like... he would know better than I, but you want to tell the audience a little bit more about your experience and your passion, what kind of drew you to acting initially, and how it's been going so far, how it's progressed?
Nothing really drew me to it in the beginning. I was kind of just coaxed into it by the begging of my friend William Herbert Westray IV, a dear friend of mine and a very good actor. I had looked for my niche in high school in the form of sports for quite a while before I found theater. So my freshman year of high school, I did football, was very good at that. Of course, when I was looking at these sports, I didn't really enjoy the sports as much as I was looking for a good workout. So football was pretty sad in terms of their workouts. And then I did wrestling sophomore year. Those workouts were pretty good. I had a relatively good inclination to what to do for wrestling, but ultimately didn't do very much with it. And then cross-country running was probably the best one and my favorite in terms of the people and the workouts and such. So then right after that ended, I was in... this is probably the most I'm going to speak because I have a whole story, so enjoy it. I was in class with Will, the man who shares half the praise for my doing theater. I was expressing to him I was happy to get back in the gym after running so much. And he was like, yo, you should come out for the show. It's the last time you can audition, this, that. I expressed to him that I wasn't terribly interested because, you know, I was ready to get back in the gym. I didn't want another thing. But he was like, you can just audition. Even if you get in, you don't have to do it. Just audition. So I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll audition. So I auditioned. I wasn't that great, obviously. And then I remember at the end, they stood us in a line. They said, if you would take a lead role, step forward. If you would take a supporting role, step forward. If you would take a role with no lines, step forward. And all those, I stepped forward except for a role with no lines. I wasn't interested. And I ended up getting a role with no lines. So that was my crossroads. I was thinking, you know, I'm going to quit. And then the other gentleman who deserves half the praise for me staying in theater is Jacob Andrew Bucks. I was talking to him about that, how I was going to quit, how I was interested in having a role with no lines. And he convinced me to stay in the show after I got in by saying... you know, when you get a cameo role, since you're not in the script, you can make up whatever you want about your character. Your character can be anything. And that excited me, so I went home that day and I made up my entire backstory. And I was excited to be in the show. And because I stayed in, someone ended up quitting and I actually got their role, so then I actually had lines. So because I stayed in, I didn't quit, I actually got to have lines in that show, so that was fortunate. So Jacob Andrew and Will Westray are to share the praise or the blame for my acting. And that's how I started. I went on to do, was it two more shows?
Yeah, Monty Python, Great Gatsby. Was there another one? Those are the two I remember.
Yeah, the first one that I did was the show that I was describing in my story was Rebel Without a Cause. So I did Rebel Without a Cause that fall, and then in the spring I got the lead in Spamalot as King Arthur. I had never sang before, so that was another new thing. So I learned how to act, and then they gave me the lead role as a singing part, and I learned how to sing, and those were both very new things for me. Something I'd like to say to the very few people listening is, you know, if you don't think you can sing, my understanding is that the vast majority of people can sing, they just don't know how. I think... like 5% of people are absolutely tone deaf and are completely useless, but I think anyone can as long as they learn how. So Rebel Without a Cause was fall, then I did Spamalot in the spring, and then the next fall I did The Great Gatsby, and then I did...
Oh, didn't you do Once Upon a Mattress? Like this summer?
Oh yeah, that was
that little summer, like, signature theater thing?
No, that was at Encore.
Oh, okay.
Studio.
Yeah.
I did that the summer in between. Mm-hmm. Great Gatsby in the fall, and then I did the show at Signature Theater, Veni Vidi Vici, which was with Signature Theater and was the highlight of my acting career. Working with those people was the most transformative work that I did in terms of acting. I think I grew as a person and as an actor the most doing that, you know, learning to confront my emotions and work with them and not to suppress them as I had learned earlier in my life. So that's when I started to unwind the barriers holding back my humanity, if you will. So I did that. I think that was... I did a couple other shows in between. I did Winnie the Pooh at Wakefield. I also did... Aeroplane Over the Sea, directed by Sean Ballack, a good buddy of mine. So I did a few, but I didn't have too much of a career. I haven't done a show since, but I'm planning on getting back into it if I can. So that's my acting story.
And Spamalot in particular, I found really cool because, so Carrie was the lead, and then the two... secondary leads or the two other leads were the kids that we had all grown up with, or Carrie had grown up with, which was just like a really cool, you know, to see all three of the goons.
More than that, you know, if I were the director of that show, I would have cast it the way that it was cast. It was all my best friends as all the main characters.
Yeah. Which was awesome. Like, that, it doesn't always happen that way.
No,
you know?
Certainly not. But yeah. We were just thankfully all cast together, and we were really just... we had grown up on that movie, so we knew all the lines. We were just having a good time in rehearsal, just cutting up. Yeah, it was a really good show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Although, I can't believe you're glossing over your first true acting experience, Carrie, in my movie, The Stupid, The Proud, and The Jawbreaker. Hello.
Yikes.
Yeah, well...
we saw this chicken in black.
Yeah, it was,
number one line.
You know, I went through various phases as a young child. One of them was filmmaking, which I did with Ryan and Josh, who were my best friends growing up. And Ryan had a Mac, which had movie at iMovie. There we go. Like the Mac iMovie thing on it. And we decided to shoot a movie. I wrote it. I forget who filmed it. Josh was
I think we all took turns.
Filming it. True. We used my dad's equipment because you guys know my dad's in videography. Josh was, you know, the main actor. He was the main character. The character was literally based off of him. I think we even called him Josh because we were just like, this is just going to be easier. And then Carrie was like six or something. I mean, you were young. You were like seven. And we were like, oh, we're going to have this scene, which actually looking back, it was kind of cute. It was the scene where Josh and Ryan, I don't know why the setting was like, oh, these kids are gangsters. Like,
I remember this story very well, if you need some help. I mean, I recorded it on my phone when we were watching it at the beach this past beach trip.
Yeah. Why were they all gangsters?
Why were we gangsters? You cast us that way.
Yeah, no, I mean,
what
like...
What was our purpose?
Like, I don't know. Show? Like, Ryan was 2x4. Why?
And then Josh... We don't get to know. We have to see the
yeah.
prequel.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know why I decided, like, oh, this is, like, they're growing up in the land of gangsters, and, like, he's 2x4. I think you. Ryan wore, like, a bandana, too. Oh, yeah. Like, I have no idea why. But I cast the three youngest kids of our, like, kid group that we grew up with as, like, the gangsters, which, honestly, there was a comical sense. It was supposed to be a comedy. And it is funny because it's just... not because it's intentionally funny, it's just really bad funny. But it is trying to be funny. And I cast all the youngest kids as, like, this group of gangsters, which my joke was, like, look at these little, you know, shrimps that are the gangsters. And I gave Carrie a line. I think it was one line.
It's, we saw this chicken in black. Or no, we saw
no,
this,
this
chick
in black. Take off with the like jawbreaker. So the whole thing was like about this kid.
I couldn't fucking remember it, and yeah. they had Ryan hold it on a piece of paper so that it couldn't be seen by the scenes, so that I could read it.
Yeah,
and I still couldn't read it.
Yeah,
we had so many outtakes of me just knocking me over.
Those were saying, most of the bloopers, and
I
yes,
said
we have
chicken
bloopers.
Like 50 times.
It was hysterical, but also kind of hard because I think we shot it like pseudo in the winter. It was pretty cold, and we had them like in
yeah,
their
it was
little
like
hoodies.
Late fall.
And so, because we didn't want them in their jackets, like, they had to show the hoodies, and like, oh, yeah, we're gangsters, but we're also, like, five. What, I don't even know the thinking behind that. But yeah, Carrie could not read the line.
Nice, it was sad.
But yeah, that was truly your first acting experience, Carrie. I'm
yeah,
so sad that you're
from
not.
There.
Yeah.
And it only got worse.
Yeah. It was, good times all around. Any questions for me, Carrie, as we come to a close on our first podcast episode together as brother and sister? I guess we were always brother and sister, whether or not we did the episode together. But, you know, just, like, any questions you want to ask me on air, any embarrassing stories you want to share with anyone, like, this is free range. Francis shares embarrassing stories about me all the time. It's kind of our brand. Like, you know, This is your platform, bud. What do you think?
I don't know. I think coming in dry, you're not going to get much out of me.
True. I should preface this with, this was a very last minute, like, hey, Carrie, you want to be on the podcast? And then, he was very nice and said, oh, okay. And, yeah, so he hasn't quite had the time he might have wanted to prepare, if he wanted to prepare, I don't know. But any burning questions or childhood memories or just anything about how great I am?
I think some might say that that is an opinion.
Nice. An opinion I'm sure you don't share, so that's okay.
That's quite audacious of you to claim that you're sure that I don't hold that opinion.
That's where I'm fishing for compliments, and you're saying I am great. Thank you.
No, I'm saying you're wrong to assume such a thing. I think that is an
meaning that I am great. See what I did there?
I see you attempting to put words in my mouth, unfortunately and unsuccessfully.
This is how several of our conversations go, and they always end on a positive note, as you can tell.
As the records would show, certainly.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, anything that comes to your mind, or anything that, I don't know, was I a good sister? I don't know what it means to be a good sister, because I feel like, I don't know. I grew up with a bunch of boys, so I was very much a tomboy. Though, you guys did always make me play the girl characters. I don't know if you recall.
Who else is going to play the girl characters?
Yeah, I don't know if you recall, whenever we would play in groups, it's like, oh yeah, and what should I do as girl character? Oh, well, you know, you're like the mom, or you're the wife. I'm like, what do they do? I don't know. They're
you're
not
the fucking
cool.
Woman.
Yeah, exactly.
You tell me.
Yeah, it's like Chi-Chi from Dragon Ball Z. What does she do? She's a bitch, so that's her character. Whereas, you know, Gohan's like the next coolest thing since sliced bread, so that's my life. That's who I am.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Alright, well, thanks so much, Carrie, for stopping by, for checking in. Please be sure to subscribe, both me telling Carrie directly, and then also you, the listeners, the three of you that exist out there. Hey there, best friends. You can check out HQAF Radio on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or any other platform where you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram. Our handle is hqaf.productions. Francis actually mentioned a couple weeks ago, why do we have a username that's separate from HQAF Radio if that's what we exclusively use our Instagram for? And I said, Francis, shut up. It's too late now. We're like 30 episodes in, and that's how we've always ended our show, with that handle. It would throw people off otherwise, so.
It would throw off three listeners.
The three listeners that have been there since the dawn of time. Well, anyway, in the meantime, the best ship to sail on is friendship.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.